Sherry, can you hear me now?
Ah, there you are. Yes, hello.
Okay.
It's the strangest feeling of being kind of out on an island somewhere. Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
So I was reading the quote when you couldn't hear me, so I'm going to read it again.
Oh, thank you.
Faith is like electricity. You can't see it, but you can see the light. Today, acknowledge that you are seeing the light. Pick up your recorder and report on how the world looks through the lens of light. Listen to your recordings and be enlightened. So let's hear from our first caller.
Well, if I may, when you said that, it was so fun because what I felt was we are the light. That what we feel buzzing around inside of us is the electricity, is the light. Yeah. All right.
Yes.
Ready
yeah,
to go.
You know, the thought that dropped in for me when I was practicing with it is that we're all suns, right? That the illumination is internal and we radiate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm. And it's mirrored.
And it's mirrored.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Right. Here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Catherine from St. Louis.
Hey. Hi, Catherine.
Hi. I am having difficulty with, well, let me say this. I am realizing that I can't figure anything out. So...
two things you said already that I would concur with wholeheartedly. One, I is always having a hard time. And two, I cannot figure anything out.
Yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So getting to faith, I think of faith and trust as mental activities. Is that where I'm off track?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Isn't it great when it's just such a definitive,
Yeah, that's helpful. Okay.
Yeah, because one of my favorite, I think it's basically a Christian thing, is faith can't be taught, it can only be caught. So it's faith is an intuitive process. Now trust and faith both we could say are also a matter of experience. So one of the things that we know from our own experience is that everything has always worked out. We have always survived. In spite of the gloom and doom and conditioned mind and the worry and the anxiety and the angst and the everything else, all issues have resolved and we have always survived. And if we're honest, we've been way more than surviving. We've really been doing very well. But the story in the mind, in conditioned mind, is that's not true. So that way it can stay in its constant state of conversation. And that's the one that goes with that is people, conditioned people, always choose their beliefs over their experience. Our experience is one thing. The conversation and the beliefs are another.
Well, is there, where would you suggest I go with, or maybe not go anywhere with, it sure looks like there is suffering, and there is like pain
that
and
there is
disaster.
Suffering and pain and in the world
and disaster and tragedy.
Of course.
So how am I okay if that's happening to?
Well, Catherine.
All right. See, I'm getting into it mentally. I know I can't figure this out. But what?
Well, you could figure it out, but you can't figure it out in conditioned mind. Now, there are two things about it that I would suggest as places to look. The first is getting to the understanding that this is a non-separate reality. So another way of saying that is there is nothing that isn't the intelligence that animates. The intelligence that's animating is animating all. So one of my favorite little Hindu things is, you know, God is, because God is everything, right? So God is driving down the road drunk as can be and runs smack headlong into God as a family of five. God kills all five gods. Where's the problem? If you understand that there is not anything that is not the intelligence animating, then there is nothing that is happening that is not at the pleasure of the intelligence that's animating. When we experience ourselves, when we get in a conversation, believe ourselves to be separate from that, then those people over there are real, and somehow now, in this moment, their problems are the reason that I'm unhappy. Now, if I pay attention 2 minutes before, my problems are the reason that I'm unhappy. Now, there's really nothing going on in my life, so it's them. They're suffering and struggling. And if we realize that each one of us as little manifestations of all that is are as equal to an expression to the manifestation that this is as anybody else, if we talk about it in the Buddhist terms, we're each working out our own salvation diligently, or we could say we're each waking up to the realization that there is nothing here except the intelligence that animates all. When we wake up to that, when we realize that, all these problems disappear because they were just made up. So what would I encourage somebody to do? Make recordings and listen to them. Because anytime we get pulled into that dualistic conditioned mind, well, yeah, but what about that? And that's, isn't that true? And that's really right. Now, again, as I'm fond of saying, with so many folks really concerned about what's going on in the world. So the fact that there's nothing wrong doesn't mean that we don't participate. Okay, so there may be nothing wrong, which I would say there isn't, with somebody not having enough to eat. We could say that is their best opportunity, as whatever is going on with us is our best opportunity to wake up from the stories and conditioned mind and realize the non-separate reality of all it is. Each moment in our lives is our best opportunity. It doesn't mean we can't participate. So if there's somebody who doesn't have enough to eat, you can feed that person. But you can feed that person because you want to, not because you think they're inadequate or there's something wrong or there's something wrong with them. But this, your heart is moved and it's what you choose to do. So it comes from love. It doesn't come from a conversation about who's wrong that is putting this poor person in a place where they don't have enough to eat.
Okay.
I was looking at it this morning, in fact, Catherine, because one of the things that, you know, one of the words that I personally like to throw around a lot is evil, because just like the devil. I think it just, they're wonderful words to point at something that we all, most people really believe in, but don't actually articulate or don't put into a form that kind of gets it out there where we can look at it. So if you look at the world and you think, there is a lot of evil in this world, then what label would we put on that same stuff if that same stuff is what's causing thousands and thousands and thousands of people to have their hearts open, to have a concern for something greater than whether or not they got a parking place close enough to where they were, or what the person at work said to them that upset them or hurt their feelings. Okay, thousands and thousands of people, maybe millions of people, are saying, wait a minute, I don't want to be asleep any longer. The stakes are really high here. I could participate. I could, maybe I can make a difference. I want to I want to see if there's something that I can do to be helpful. Not from a place of those people are bad and I need to do something against them, but just I'm waking up and I'm realizing that it's what we talked about on Open Air last night. My participation makes a difference. The participation of everybody makes a difference. We can't have too much unconditional love. And so if thousands, maybe millions of people are waking up to the possibility of tossing great big loads of unconditional love into this world, how can what initiated that be evil?
Yeah. Yeah, my word for that evil, quote-unquote, would be bodhisattva.
Yeah. It's as good a word as any. Whatever causes us to wake up, we got to say thank you for it.
Yeah. Okay, this is a challenge, and
recording.
But, thank you.
You are so welcome. Take good care.
Okay.
Make those recordings. Please,
yes.
The heart. Make the heart happy. All right. Thanks,
okay.
Catherine.
Thank you.
Thanks, Catherine. You know, Sherry, this is such the place of the spiritual opportunity, right? Because it is a perspective that cannot be grokked by conditioned mind.
Oh,
and so
yes.
That conundrum where X and therefore Y or X and Y are mutually exclusive, evil versus good, as opposed to everything is, and there's a context from which there's a way to approach life that is not good versus evil, might certainly be the thing that we're waking up to.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That what we're being called to do is leave dualistic mind behind and slip into, as you say, the context that is life, the perspective that enables us to see from this completely different perspective.
Yes. Yes.
There's nothing wrong, and I want to be of assistance because I can be.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
It feels good, because it makes my heart happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's so difficult to have two things that seem opposed in conditioned mind to be able to coexist in the moment.
In whole mind.
In whole yes. mind. And come from a place of love that holds the context where there's nothing wrong with whatever it is that's termed evil, and yet that doesn't mean that I'm resigned or condoned to it. I love that thing, something we were looking at where, you know, there's a spiritual opportunity is one in which when whatever gets triggered for me assists me to know what I want to be or I do not want to be, where the change
yes.
is in me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you were pointing at, that Catherine was talking about the bodhisattva, right? That if I'm the person in whom the transformation is happening because I'm the node of intelligence that's waking up.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. So as you know, I often say my father was my first bodhisattva because he was such a mean so-and-so that I every time I looked at him, I knew he was the role model for what I never want to be in my life.
Yes.
So would I have traded him for somebody else? No, because that's one of the most powerful lessons of my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm deeply grateful.
Yes, and there's no judgment about that. There's no judgment. That's the part that falls off, right, from that
yes.
awareness perspective. It's very neutral.
Yes, well, and in that that case of my father, I don't know that he was a mean so-and-so.
Right?
He didn't think he was, right? So there's just no reason to go to that figuring it out place because I don't know. But if it's producing the desire, the openness, the opening, the willingness for a transformation in my heart, then all I can do is say thank you, whatever is bringing that about.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's really big.
It is. It's the biggest. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's extraordinary that we're being asked to face it, because the external circumstances are bringing us all to that ultimate spiritual crossroads. Well,
which periodically seems to happen. Periodically, that does seem to happen in the world. You know, about the time everybody goes to sleep, there's a great big opportunity to wake up again. And, you know, our opportunity is don't go to sleep.
Yes.
You know, don't go to sleep, just because it seems like everything has gotten back on an even keel, and every, you know, the good people are in charge and everybody's going to be all, no, that's not, we still can't go to sleep.
Right.
Okay, next person. Thank you, Ashwini.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Karen from Madison, Wisconsin.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Hi. Yeah,
what are you seeing?
What am I seeing? Well, I'm just seeing how when I shift into faith, like, I had some troubles yesterday, and I was like, I'm going to spend the whole day, I'm going to use this as my opportunity all day long to shift this and to, like, trust that everything is working out for me, and that I don't need to get why this is so, like, why this is so perfect, but to just stand in the place, like, a platform, like, it is perfect, and whether or not I ever, like, see how it pans out, which has happened many, many times in my life, where something that seemed totally unfair, 20 years later, I'm like, what a gift.
Right.
What a gift.
Right, exactly. It may not be this evening. It may take 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. But chances are good I'll see it at some point.
Yeah, and even if I never see it, just shifting out of it, it is really like walking into a light room. And and there's something, okay, now I'm going to start to cry. When I have found that when something comes up that I really, it really calls on me to be quite intentional and really, you know, really work the muscle of faith, I just get this, I get this joy for no reason that happens.
Yes.
That's just like, it's, I woke up this morning and I had to take a picture of it. There was a rainbow. I never have seen this before in my bedroom, but one wall had all these rainbows on it. As the sun was shining through the blinds, it made all these zigzaggy rainbows, like five really big zigzaggy prisms on my wall. And I was just like, wow. Thanks.
Yeah.
For me, what it means is the work I did yesterday is like the universe then just wants to give me a big kiss.
Yes. And you know, the thing about it is that true? Well, we don't know. Would people argue with us? Absolutely. But what happened to you is that you saw it that way, and you felt that, and you were moved to say thank you. Yay.
Yeah.
I mean, do we need any more than that?
No.
I don't think you do. No.
No.
Even
without that rainbow, which was so cool, it's my usual experience is just this total, like, blissed, like kind of like this, like giddy lightheartedness. Like when I work something and work something and I'm like really intentional, it's like then I get this like pop or like it's almost like I've like the garden hose just like gets released and I go, ah! You know,
make sure I'm following you, okay? So when you say you work something, so what you're doing is there's something going on, and you just keep bringing your attention back to it. You're going to stay, you're really intentional about staying with this until you get to some point of clarity, And that's when the garden hose goes boop, and you get the whee of joy. Is that kind of how it goes? Okay.
Yeah. And I know that, you know, it's like, I wonder, like, I mean, it seems like what else is possible, like to be in that joy space all the time, to be like, it almost is like I have to have something like crappy happen to like focus my attention to like, okay, now I'm going to really shift, not go into self-pity or, oh, that sucked that happened, but to like for me, when something bad happens or something disappointing happens, then I really work the muscle and I really focus.
Yes.
It causes me to focus.
Yes. Yes.
So I'm wondering, it's like, why do I have to do that? Why am I creating disappointments? Then, you know,
yes.
Why am I getting myself
yes.
in the dark room at all?
Yes, yes, yes. That's it. That's what, yes. So, very excited here. So that's that whole thing that I was talking about with Catherine. You know, everything, for a lot of people, things are in a really bad state now, right? So now everybody wakes up and has an opportunity either to get really upset and angry and that sort of thing, or work that muscle of loving kindness and compassion and intention, as you're saying, to stay with it. Not to just drift off, not to indulge the self-pity or the anger, not to get to a place of, oh, but I know how to get to bliss, so I'm just going to bliss out over here in the corner and the rest of the world. But do I need to have these things that I take personally in order to cause me to wake up? Or can I, and I, when you were talking, I was thinking of the, you know, Jesus saying you must become as little children. That to me is what you're describing. You're home. You know that you're cared for and loved and everything is for you. And even if it's a, you know, somebody gives you a puzzle to work on, it's not because they hate you. It's because they want you to learn how to solve puzzles and enjoy that and, you know, flex all of those kinds of muscles and strengthen them. So can we then move into a place of service where it doesn't have to be something in my little life that causes me to wake up and want to participate, but just the fact that nothing happens to you that doesn't happen to me, nothing happens to me that doesn't, that level of oneness, I want to participate in every way I can in service to all, for the good of all.
Yeah.
Then we don't have to have our little personal places to step into in order to find our way out. You know, there are plenty of them. And we can just joyfully be serving, joyfully doing our part for all.
Yeah, that's, you know, when you say that, it's like it makes it like, instead of focusing on like this one little glass of water, it's like, oh, the whole ocean. The whole ocean. You know, I'm transforming the whole ocean with my focus.
Yes.
And everybody who has ever been in a situation, which is pretty much everybody on the planet, gets benefit.
Yes. And in that place, we realize how many others are doing the same thing. So again, it's not my little life in isolation, but that sense of belonging to this this huge group of people moving toward a greater consciousness of possibility.
Yeah. It's nice.
It's really nice. And again, it's you seeing the rainbow on the wall. You know, we just get to thank you. Thank you. This is more than I could have ever dreamed. Thank you. And is it a huge thing? Did somebody just dump $1 billion on you? Did you, you know, no, there's a rainbow on the wall and you were there for it. Thank you. As good as it gets.
This one little thing I want to mention that you said about, like, that there's all this waking up, like there's all this, that everybody is working it out on in their own way.
Yes.
Like, there's a little piece of me that's like, oh, there's, you know, the people who are really trying or really, like, intentional about choosing God or having God in their life, or and others are just not. But I've been shifting into, no, everybody's doing it in their own way. There's all
That's
these
right.
different ways. And it That's doesn't right. matter, like...
That I understand,
I mean,
it.
I don't need to understand it, and they don't need to be doing what I'm doing. They don't need
That's
to be...
That's exactly right.
They don't need to be doing what I'm doing, and they don't need to be, like,
That's
making
right.
it, like, a primary
That's
focus
right.
of their whole day.
That's right. And maybe they are, and I just don't know it because it doesn't look like anything I recognize. But here's the thing that I go back to.
Yes.
When you get to that point of not needing to judge people for where they are,
yes.
I don't know about you, but I can remember times back in my life. I don't mean a day or two. I mean years of my life where I was so completely unconscious that I am grateful that I can't remember half of the stuff that I was up to. That if I could really see it with full conscious awareness, I think the cringing would be fatal. Okay? And yet, I know in the way that you're describing that even in that, I was doing the best that I could do to
mm-hmm.
get to the next place of light.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you so much. What a delight.
Oh, thank you, Sherry. Ashwini, thank you so much. So glad
thank
to be part
care.
Of this.
Take care.
You know, Sherry, there were two things that dropped in during that call. The first being how the thing that Buddha always talks about, right? That you have to cultivate what leads away from suffering, and you have to practice what leads towards freedom. And that place where no matter what it is, we still want to flex the muscle of joy. Whether we're in a place of darkness or we're in a place of light, it takes practice to experience joy in both cases. It's not just a given that when
to
we're...
To say thank you for each.
To say thank
that
you
they're
for each.
Yeah, each leading to the same place.
Yes.
Leading us away from suffering. Yeah,
we do have much more opportunity to flex the muscle in dark places, but that as we practice and get to places of gratitude and equanimity and all of those things, we still have to receive it. And it's a really joyful experience to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a practice.
And not just go back to sleep because... things are going so well, why be awake for this? Well, why be awake? Be awake so you can say thank you.
Yes. Well, and the flip is true also, that no matter what it is, whether it's a dark place or a joyful place, we still have the ability to choose dissatisfaction. And we tend to forget that, right? That the opportunity is the same regardless of the circumstance.
Yeah, that's so true. You know, just have a gorgeous day, you know, 23 hours and 50 minutes of the day of just perfection, and then there's that 10 minutes, and that's what conditioned mind is when I'm going to want to make the whole day.
Yeah, well, or as you said, it's a dark time, so we choose hatred instead of love. It's a wonderful time, and we choose hatred instead of love. That choice between hatred and love is the same, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Which leads that's me to funny. That second point, which is, that it's I think what we were looking at with Catherine, that it's so impossible for conditioned mind not to take things personally, that it's for me, or that just to realize what the Buddha said, there is unconsciousness in this world and there's consciousness in this world. And maybe consciousness is evolving in various ways. And so it's completely impersonal. It's all the meaning that's put on it is what we make of it. And perhaps what the biggest letting go is that we are the electricity, not the bulb, right? Because we're so attached to making everything personal and everything mean something that what we're letting go of is the ability to just witness what is without morality and without our opinions.
Yeah. Yeah. The divine can wake up as the divine chooses. It's really, we really don't need to have an opinion about it.
Yeah. That electricity is electricity. It doesn't matter whether it's light is good or light is bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's very helpful. Yeah.
Which leads us to our quote for the day, and we're at time, funnily enough. If the only prayer you said in your whole life was thank you, that would suffice.
Well, much there we are, huh?
There we are. You said it three or four times.
There we are, seeing rainbows everywhere.
Yes. Well, and thank you for everything, right? I think that's the message that combines yesterday and today. It's not what we say thank you for, but that we say thank you.
Oh, that's the whole deal, isn't it? That's what conditioned mind would have us believe. We can only say thank you for certain things. And then conditioned mind needs to determine if this is a good thing, you can say thank you. If it's a bad thing, you can't say thank you. But what we realize is, no, every moment is a thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow, that's big. Yeah, that's very good.
So today, say thank you every chance you get. Notice how that feels at the end of the day or throughout the day. Make a recording of the many reasons why you were moved to say thank you.
I love it. This is going to be fun.
Yep. And I would encourage everybody who called in and put themselves in the queue to call in and put themselves in the queue tomorrow, and we'll get through everyone. So thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you for the participation.
Yes. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Ashwini. Talk
thank
to you tomorrow.
Okay.
Bye.